everybody. Welcome back to But Why Though, the podcast. The podcast where every week I, Kate, Matt, and Adrian talk about the things in pop culture that people say matter and ask the question, but why though? So before we get started today, we wanted to make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes. It's how people find us and it really, really helps us out. Also, make sure you're following us on all of our social medias, at But Why Though PC on Twitter and facebook.com/ButWhyThoughPC. Get involved in the conversation that we're having about all the things we love, all the things we kind of don't love, you know, just all pop culture things. We're also Twitch affiliates now. We stream almost every night of the week and we play a whole bunch of video games. So come sit in our chat, talk with us, sub to us, do whatever. And if you want to support us a little bit more, head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/butwhythoughpc. There you can subscribe for as little as $1 a month and get really, really cool perks. On top of that, you also help keep this podcast going. So thank you for all the support you're giving us by listening and, enjoy the show. Another spoiler-filled review, this time of Solo, A Star Wars Story. As always, I'm your host, Kate, and I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
Hello.
And bringing balance to the Force today, Ryan.
Thanks for having me on.
And Ryan is, you probably heard him on our Overwatch episode. If you haven't, go listen to it. It's a pretty good episode. And he is a host of Firekeepers Podcast and the Game Boys podcast, where they talk about co-op gaming.
Yeah, all over on GoombaStomp.com.
Said he also has very luscious hair.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
I'm here for Ryan. Let's do this.
I really hope we never go to Portland, because you're just going to leave me. He's going to wave some E3 tickets in the air, and you're gone.
Yeah, pretty much. But, I mean, that means you can't come to PAX Prime or E3, like, you're gonna have to try and avoid me here.
I know. But I want to meet you all so bad.
You're just after my dog, I know it.
That is true. I just want to put Sammy in a carry-on, and then, like, she's mine. Anyway.
Oh, man, that dog will not fit in a carry-on.
She thinks every dog can fit in a carry-on.
They're all babies.
No. All right, come on.
Okay. Anyway, okay. So, we are talking about Solo, which came out on May 25th. Here in the States. It is classified as an action adventure. It's the most recent Star Wars story. So a part of their anthology series that Star Wars has been doing. It is a runtime of 2 hours and 15 minutes. And it follows a young Han Solo. Like, obviously it's kind of straightforward in that regards. During an adventure into the criminal underworld, Han Solo meets his future co-pilot Chewbacca and encounters Lando Calrissian years before joining the rebellion. It's directed by Ron Howard, stars Alden Ehrenreich?
Sure.
Whatever.
Woody Harrelson, Emilia Clarke, Donald Glover, and Thandi Newton, and Phoebe Waller-Bridge is L3, Paul Bettany, and I'm trying to find the guy's name who played Chewbacca, because that's important to me.
Oh, right there.
Junis Suotamo. Yeah. That's kind of, I'm kind of, like, saddened by how that, like, how, like, what the description is on IMDb. Like, I feel like their summary should be, like, I don't know. I feel like it weighs too much on, like, the existing characters. It doesn't tell you anything about the adventure.
If you saw the movie, I would think that IMDb is accurate.
I don't know. I think they could have, like, brought in cool planet names and, like, anyway. Yeah, so does anybody... Okay, so what were your initial thoughts walking out of the theater?
I had a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it, for sure. Like, it's my initial thought before, like, talking too much about, you know, what I liked and kind of what I didn't like. But yeah, I had fun watching it. I walked out happy. I'd go watch it again in theaters for sure.
Matt?
It happened. It wasn't, I didn't think it was bad, but I just really didn't think it was, just thought it was, somebody handed me a saltine cracker, and I like saltine crackers, but I definitely don't eat them that much. It's just very bland.
Ryan?
I thought it was fun. Not great by any means, but it wasn't offensive in any way. Like, it, I didn't think it would have the divide that it does on the internet, because it was just kind of like a little adventure with some characters you know and love.
Kathleen Kennedy didn't ruin your childhood.
No, 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 never. If Jar Jar Binks didn't, this definitely won't.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, that's a different, yeah.
Yeah. Meh. And I think it's only because I actually had some kind of high hopes to it for it. Other, like, unlike, like, I guess some other, like, circles and stuff. Mm-hmm. It was meh. I guess because Adrian didn't go into what he liked and disliked, so, like, I kind of won't go there. We'll say that for the end. But it was just, it's underwhelming. But I would watch it over, there are 4 Star Wars movies that I will watch this movie over. Like, rewatch, like, at home and stuff. So, it's not bad. It's middle of the road.
No, I've seen this twice, and I didn't have any expectations going into it. It does kind of drag at the beginning, but then it is a lot of fun, which I think is the most important part.
Yeah, I think I guess I was the parts that I had fun with, like, they weren't necessarily Han. And, like, I have, like, my Millennium Falcon keychain. It's, like, solid, like, I love Han. Like, Han is one of my favorite characters in Star Wars.
But Han is the worst character in the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going that far? Yes, by far. I didn't know we were hopping right into that one.
I didn't know we were either. I am not tasked with giving synopses or a walkthrough of the plots anymore because I take too long, as our 2-hour Infinity War episode showed. So, somebody take that.
All right, so I guess we start the movie off with Han, and I guess it's Emily Clark's character.
Amelia Clark.
Emily, yeah. Amelia, Kira. So basically we find them, they're on a crappy planet. You can find they're basically having to steal things to stay alive, and they finally decide to make a break for it after stealing hyperfuel or something, crystal, which I didn't realize was that big of a deal, but sure, Star Wars people go.
Did anybody think that it was weird that they were way older than the other kids that were in that area?
A little bit.
A little bit, and it makes you kind of wonder, like, did all the other older kids die off? Yeah. Did they join other gangs? Why are they still here? It wasn't very well explained, and I don't know if they were just like, people won't think about it too much because, you know, this is supposed to be a few years ago, but they looked significantly older than everyone else.
Okay, sorry, I had to bring that up.
So then we get our first two characters in Han and
the hyperfuel stuff is important because this is like the time where the Empire, I mean, you see, because Corellia is like a shipbuilding planet.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And this is also the first time that we've like ever seen Corellia. Like, they've talked about Corellia so much, like in all these movies, but this is the first time we're actually seeing it. It's important because the Empire basically wants it, and that's what makes it important. Because they're building like all these fleets of ships, and they need all this hyperfuel stuff to power their big Star Destroyers.
So is
and
this
basically the Death Star? So that's why it's so important. Kind of like how like the kyber crystals were in Rogue One. It's kind of like the same thing with the hyperspace fuel.
That's kind of how I saw it.
I only brought it up because Matt didn't know why it was important. Yeah. So I'm letting Matt know why it's important.
Hey, I've seen most people go like, "Why are we fighting over gas?" I guess.
I mean, why did people fight over gas in the 70s?
Well, I know, but we're in it. Yeah, but I mean,
why
have
we started wars over oil?
But
like that should be the least piece of this movie that you're like, why are they doing this?
Well, I guess the difference is the difference out of that equation is we only have one planet in the 70s we can get oil from, they have how many planets in this universe to go to?
No, but if you... But if... Exactly.
Yeah, but we're also and not
everything has hyperspace, hyperspace capabilities. That's why it's so, like, interesting that the few ships that we do see do have them.
And on top of that, too, in, like, in our one world for oil, it is countries fighting over this. And that stuff is, like, the same way, is it Jeddah is, like, the only place for kyber crystals? Like, I'm assuming that there are only specific planets you can go to and get that.
Yeah, and so and when the Empire controls all of them, basically.
Yeah, and so it's kind of like when that happens, people are going to fight over the resources because essentially, like, at least my understanding, the way the Star Wars universe has worked, like, even as established in the prequels and the Clone Wars, is you have essentially different governing planets that govern themselves and relate to each other, and they're essentially like states or like countries. That's how I've always taken it. Like, they each have their own internal politics, of course, but, like, when it comes to, like, the Empire and its interaction with them, they're different places that they would stop. So, essentially, it would be, like, us going to war with, like, in Kuwait because we want to control oil or getting money to, like, Iraq and Iran to fight. Like,
so, sadly, the more this is being explained to me, the kind of the less likely I kind of really enjoyed this movie because it becomes even more bland if they just fought over gas.
It's what happens in real life, man.
Like, well, I know. That's what I'm saying. So it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, why wouldn't it happen to, like, in a larger universe?
Yeah, and the Empire is a giant colonizing force.
Yeah.
Yes.
This does come back around at the very end of the movie, and I don't want to give anything away yet, but, like, it is important for Star Wars that this fight over gas did happen. Mm-hmm. Because it continues to happen with Rebellion.
Yes, next box.
I see you, Ryan.
Okay, so, are we going to talk about the two main characters we first introduced, or do you want to keep going?
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking. Okay. Like, are we going to actually talk about the characters?
Let's talk about Han and Kira.
Yeah. Okay, so Kira played by Amelia Clark, and then Han played by Alden Ehrenreich? Ehrenreich? I think it's Reich.
You were so bad, you don't deserve to have your name said right.
It's hard because he's trying to play Harrison Ford's Han Solo, and everyone loves Harrison Ford's Han Solo.
He's trying to be Harrison, because I think we'll talk about this when we get to Lando. Like, do you think he was trying to be Harrison Ford as Han Solo? Like, or because, like, to me, my problem was that there was a disconnect. And not even, like, somebody went through growing pains disconnect between this Han and the Han we have in everything else.
Yeah, it's just, it becomes blatantly obvious when you look at his portrayal of Han versus Donald Glover's portrayal of Lando, and Donald Glover knocks it out of the park. And it's like, how could your main character not do the same? I don't know why. His acting felt so
I've seen him in
off,
one movie before, and it was Hail Caesar, where he was playing a young actor who was bad at acting. Specifically.
Is that the reality him just being bad at acting?
Theoretically, there was a lot of reports.
I thought he was fine.
I thought he was very bad.
Well, why did you think he was fine?
I mean, I thought he was fine because, like, going into it, I didn't want just a Harrison Ford carbon copy. I mean, because, to be honest, like, Donald Glover's fine. Like, Donald Glover, like, plays Lando Calrissian, but, like, this is also, like, over a decade before we see them in, like, the events of the original trilogy. So I wanted him to act at least, like, a little bit different. I didn't want it to feel exactly like Harrison Ford. So I liked that it was kind of like him trying out being, you know, like, the scoundrel. Trying to be the outlaw and trying to be the scoundrel and not just, like, outwardly being the Han Solo we see in episode 4, because this is, you know, 10 years before that. So there's, like, 10 years of, like, him in his early 20s trying to, like, find himself and, like, be himself, and he's not already going to, out of, like, the womb, be Harrison Ford Han Solo.
Yeah.
Which is why I think Donald Glover was fantastic as Lando Calrissian, but, like, he was already Lando Calrissian. So, like, that doesn't leave a lot of room for him to grow into Lando Calrissian. He's kind of just already, like, now we just know that he just was always this suave, you know, lady killer. He was probably getting it on with a droid. kind of guy.
Yeah, see, like, for me, I see it kind of... Like, I think that I wanted to know more about Lando's journey, whereas, like, when for me, and this goes back to Matt kind of calling him bland, like, he wasn't bad. He just didn't hold my attention. And that was my problem with it. And it wasn't that, because, like, I expected it to be a Han that was growing into, like, confidence and grow. Like, as the lead of the movie, I expected there to be a character arc, right? That he's going to slowly become the Han that we know, because that's what origin stories are. But I don't think that there were enough of, like, intrinsically Han traits to ground it. Because, like, even though that you may be on a character journey, like, I'm not the same person today as I was 10 years ago, but there are parts of me that are still me, like, that haven't changed as my attitudes have shifted, if that makes sense.
I mean, actually, I think it's still there. I mean, so he was always, the cocky pilot is still there, like, the risk taker is still there. I just think that from the start of this movie, of, like, what his motives are for, like, to do what he do, completely changed through the course of the movie, and kind of, like, show you, like, why he's, like, so jaded and, like, doesn't really want to get too much into the whole rebellion thing. And like, why... Yeah, I mean, I see the character growth. Yeah.
I honestly think it's just the acting. Like, I honestly think that's all it was. Because I don't think the writing in this movie was bad.
Yeah, I didn't think it was either.
Yeah, like, I just think it was, like, him.
Well, if you look at all the other characters, they all outshone Han.
Yeah.
And so the writing wasn't bad. It was just something was wrong with that actor in that role. And for whatever reason, it clearly didn't click with a lot of us. So I think him being the weakest part of the movie would have been fine if it wasn't a movie about Han Solo.
He just acted or was well. And for being the lead, he just fell super flat.
Yeah. I also think that, like, we would have gotten this, I think, with really anybody else, to be honest. I think Han Solo is just, like, such a hard character to kind of reproduce.
I can definitely
he's one of those iconic roles,
because, like, yeah, and that's not to discredit anything you guys are saying, because I don't think he's the best part of the movie either, but I don't think he's, like, as bad as, like, you know, Twitter is making it out to be, like, this kind of, like, you know, Jar Jar Binks level terrible.
I don't think he's that level either. He doesn't shine like Harrison shines, I guess. Like, because when Harrison enters the scenes, he, like, at least for me, he commands that. And, like, that's why his scenes with Leia are so good, because they're balanced in how they are. And for me, like, I think Emilia Clarke, especially in the finale, like, overpowers, like, his presence there.
She's just a better actor.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Out of all these actors you're mentioning, he is by far just the worst actor in general.
Yeah, and so I think that was a weak spot. But I can see what you're saying, Adrian, that, like, doing a prequel on somebody who is so established within the hearts and minds of people, it makes that task harder.
I would have been disappointed if we just got, like, he was already, like, a scoundrel, and he already, you know, is, like, swooning hearts and, you know, doing all this stuff. I'm okay with him being, like, you know, a little green around the edge, or, like, being a little green for most of the movie.
Yeah,
in terms of, like, his character, not necessarily, like, the acting, because I definitely understand what you're saying about the acting. I'm talking about, like, his character progression through the movie.
Matt?
I just thought he was bad, and it definitely didn't enjoy. I just didn't enjoy it.
Saying he's bad, then you're saying he's not bad. Either he's bad or he's not, not bad.
Well, I didn't say he wasn't bad. I said he was bad.
You just said earlier he wasn't bad.
No. I'm saying him himself and the acting and he did and the whole entire job of his movie was bad. He was by far the worst part of this movie for me.
Yeah.
And as you're talking about it as an iconic role, like you said, he's by far the worst actor on this entire list, and he basically showed he was the worst actor in this movie.
Had this been Han Solo and Friends, I think he would have had more moments to, like, lean on some of these acting talents of other characters if they had let other characters stay around longer that have phenomenal actors behind them. That also, like, he's still a really young actor too, Like, yeah. He really hasn't done a lot of stuff. And I think that it was just... But I know that Star Wars is built... Not this movie, because they pulled up a whole bunch of big names. But, like, traditionally, Star Wars is built on finding these kind of no-name people who can go into these roles. And I know that's what they were trying to do. It just may not have been the right choice. So. Yeah. But he's not terrible.
I thought he was terrible.
He's not terrible. Okay, you think he's terrible.
No, he's perfectly fine.
And that's my problem. It's just, it's...
He's just fine.
He's there. And I wanted I wanted to know when I was watching the movie, especially, not necessarily with Kira in the beginning. I thought, transitioning to her, I thought she was really kind of dull in the beginning. And she kind of grows, like, once she has her reveal, I think she's great. I just think it came too late. Like, they could have done other things to kind of hint at stuff for me. But I think ultimately, when she was in this, I wanted to follow her. Like, I didn't want to stay on him. And that happened with different characters, too.
I think it's just, like, Han had that, like, 3-year jump, and it was clear that he was in the Empire, you know, trying to be a pilot, and then became an infantryman. And that's kind of a boring story, whereas Kira, you get her in a new exotic location, and throughout the movie, it's clear that she's lived a life much more exciting than Han's. Too. And you're like...
Like, not necessarily exciting. Like, more. She's seen some shit.
Right? She's seen some shit, like, but she's picked up, you know, fighting styles. She knows Lando from before. Like, she's been to other planets. Like, she knows stuff. And it's even in the movie, you know, she doesn't know everything. Just a bit more than Han.
No, I really liked Emilia Clarke in this role. And I think we had talked about it before. Like, I was actually worried about it because outside of Game of Thrones, I haven't really liked Emilia Clarke stuff.
Yeah, I totally agree there. I mean, I was, like, one of the first ones to say it. I did not like her in Terminator. I thought she was pretty bad in that. But I thought she...
Yeah, I was like, that was a terrible movie.
But she's just not just good at it at all. Like, she doesn't help it, even with, like, her Game of Thrones pull. But I thought she was really good in this. I really enjoyed her.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed her. I don't know. I wanted to know more about the struggle that she had gone through, because she, like, repeatedly says in the movie to Han, like, you wouldn't like me if you know what I've done. And, like, all of that was way more interesting to me. Like, I wanted to see her pain. I wanted to see her, like, her survival. Like, I think Beckett calls her, like, she's a survivor kid. Like, I wanted to see that. And I don't... And it's not a fault of the movie, because it's not Han and Friends. It's Han. It's Solo. But, like, there was depth in that character that I think could have at least been alluded to, like, giving her more action, giving her more movement, giving her more agency in the roles apart from things. But then again, it's kind of like, now I'm trying to rewrite the movie. So I just would have liked that through line more. Like, exposing that through line more intensely as it got up to that big reveal.
I think you put it best on Twitter, saying that Solo made you want to see, like, 3 other movies from, like, the characters in this movie. And it's like, yeah, the Solo movie itself, it was fine, but the other stories that they introduced are more compelling.
That's how they get you.
And now we're going to get 3 different movies.
Or at least 3 different...
Yep. I mean, or at least I may as well just hand my wallet to Disney now.
Definitely. Matt, comics. Matt, what did you think?
I mean, like, you guys kind of touched on it. At the end, she was great, but there's basically 2 hours of nothing from her. Yeah. And so by the time it got to her, it was just like, the movie's over, man. Like, cool. Like, I'm just not invested anymore. The movie's over.
Yeah, I think that's definitely what frustrated me.
So moving on from there, basically, we then run into Chewbacca. Basically, we find Han getting thrown into, I guess, a pit
with the beast.
Because all they ever do in Star Wars is throw somebody in a pit with a beast.
If you had a giant beast tied up, you would throw people in it, Matt.
Accurate.
I'm just saying that's what happens.
Don't try and deny it.
Like, come on now.
Yeah, it's a pit with a beast.
And they throw him in a pit. Han basically call him a deserter. As we mentioned, he kind of went into the to go pilot school, and he gets thrown there where he meets Chewbacca, who is the beast. And he happens at some time know how to speak his language and compromises, and them two are able to escape. That point to where they finally meet up with his rogue squad of scoundrels of Woody Harrelson's Beckett and Val.
Danny Newton.
And this, and then basically an alien with a lot of arms. I don't know what that one is.
I don't remember who played
him. I think John Farrar plays him.
Yeah, John Favreau. So I guess let's start with Chewbacca. Chewbacca is my favorite part of this movie.
Yeah, literally everything with Chewbacca in this movie is amazing.
Like, it's so good.
Which, you need to have Chewie done right, because you can't have Han without
They gave him stuff to do, and he's not just like a walking carpet. Like, he basically is in the original trilogy, and in most of the sequel trilogy, where he's just like...
Not even there.
In a cockpit, or just like... there for porg laughs. Like, it's... Yeah, the dude has, like, a family. Like, his family's, like in slavery at this point, and, like, he wants to get back to them. And you kind of get that in this movie, which I think is amazing. And he's also, like, double-fisting drinks in the club, which is amazing. Like, I identify with that so much. Yeah. And his introduction was amazing. Like, him fighting Han, and then, like, Han being able to, like, speak to him, which is amazing. I mean, they don't really... talk about it, and I don't know if, like, we'll ever get, like, how he knows that, but in, like, the Legends material, when, like, Han's, like, life was real shitty, he, like, befriended when he was, like, on, like, this gang thing, but one of the cooks, or whatever, was a female Wookiee, and that was, like, his, like, pseudo-mom for a lot of it, so that's, like, kind of how he learned Sheerwook. So that's, like, kind of how he... That's why I assume he knows it in this movie. But I just like it, because they're fighting, and they meld and bond instantly, and I love it.
Yeah, I would say this. Having just shit on Han for a little bit, my favorite pieces of Han are him with Chewie.
Yeah, of course.
And I think, like, this is one of those three movies that I want. I want a freaking Kashyyyk movie and the Wookiees battling the Empire, or, like, it was so good. I know it would be.
Oh, that's not going to end well. That'll be a sad movie.
I just love Chewie. And like Adrian said, he's more than a walking carpet. And it was like, it's so great to see Chewie wreck. Like, just wreck shop. Like, use that Wookiee strength and just really
let loose. Yeah, because there's actually aliens in our space opera that do stuff other than just like our background characters.
Even though most of the main cast was human.
I liked the forearm dude. He was great.
And then they killed him.
And then they killed him. But then you get, like, the crime syndicate stuff, which is, like, full of, like, aliens and bad stuff. It's not just, like, evil white empire white man.
Yeah. I will say this. This movie had a lot more aliens.
Yeah. And that's because you're not dealing with the Empire, which, you know, is supposed to be modeled after, you know, Nazi Germany, and only humans are supposed to be a part of the Empire. So, like... they had a chance to expand it more and give you a bunch more aliens, and I feel like they didn't quite do well enough with that. Like,
so they could do more than more, like the Resistance, who should be full of aliens, and the Rebellion, who should be full of aliens, because they're being like directly oppressed by like the Empire. But
it still doesn't like give you that like that quality. It's still ultimately a human story. I think I read somewhere that like there were thoughts. So. I guess, like, to kind of give Ron Howard some slack, like, he did come into this movie with it already almost done, and he reshot a lot of it, which included Beckett. Like, at least from what I understood, so this wasn't included in the reshoots, but when it was initially stated, Beckett was going to be an alien, like an alien leading the gang, and then that ended up changing. Which I guess brings us to our other characters of Beckett, who is the one that doesn't die right away, which is Woody Harrelson being Woody Harrelson, which isn't a bad thing, but it's also like, I knew what his character was going to do, because I've literally seen every other Woody Harrelson movie where his character does this exact same thing. Yeah.
Are you saying people are predictable?
So it just, like, it... Yeah. It wasn't bad. Like, again, it wasn't bad, but it was, I guess, it was a saltine cracker. Like, I knew it was going to happen. It was still good when I had it, but... Yeah. I don't know what you guys thought.
I mean, I liked him, but like you said, I thought most of this... He was very predictable. We knew what he would. We knew Woody Harrelson. We've seen him play this character before. We got what we expected, and that's it. I basically lead to the bigger theme of what I thought about this movie. It was just very predictable in pretty much every step they made.
Yeah. Okay, first of all, I doubt it was very predictable at the very end of the movie. No one predicted that.
So I'm sorry, I sat there 2 hours and 10 minutes of predictability to get very one clear. Thing.
No one saw that coming. I didn't know Woody Harrelson was even in this movie.
Boring ass shit.
I didn't even know Woody Harrelson was even in the movie, to be honest, because I didn't like watch any of the trailers, like looking at the posters or anything. I mean, I knew Emilia Clarke was in it, but I didn't know Woody Harrelson was in it.
I didn't either, actually.
So I was pleasantly surprised by his character, and I kind of like the whole, you know, and it kind of goes back to like Han's growth as like, you know, not trusting anybody, because you don't really see him like not really trust anybody, and then getting like the whole, you know, shoot first lesson and things like that. And that's like directly from Woody Harrelson's character. So I enjoy like what he does for Han's growth into like the scoundrel smuggler aspect.
Yeah. I will say this, Han shooting first to kill Woody Harrelson was probably one of my favorite things of the movie.
Yeah. Very good.
I mean, fans have been, you know, waiting for Han to shoot first forever now. So I do like that this was just like a clear little reference to that. And it does go to establish, you know, Han's character when we get to him in.
But I mean, so far, like, he wasn't bad. Again, wasn't bad, but like,
I thought he was fun. I liked him.
I thought he was fun. I enjoyed his interactions with the other characters. I thought he brought more comedy than Han did, especially at the beginning. Han eventually, towards the end, you know, he makes me laugh a tiny bit, but not quite like Woody Harrelson ever does.
He's just predictable, and I guess because I don't know.
I will say this, I'm always sad when Woody dies, because every time he always ends up having to die at the end.
I'm sorry, he's the Sean Bean
that's Paul Bettany.
Star Wars now? What's going on?
Paul Bettany is the new Sean Bean.
Okay, between to the other That's two fair. Characters, which we talked a little bit about, which was Val and
Rio. Yeah. I was really excited for Val, mostly because I love Westworld, and Thandi Newton is, like, a boss. Like, she is phenomenal as an actress and, like, really has a commanding presence. And I know why she died, but yeah, I'm just like,
what a wasted opportunity.
I don't know. I don't know who you could replace, because Woody Harrelson's also a great actor too. I just think that, like, had Val been in the position, or even just like along with them on their team, like that would have made some of it less predictable, because like she would have been I just really loved her. Mm-hmm. And I actually really liked their little like relationship. I thought that was really cute.
Yeah, I understand why she had to die for Woody Harrelson's character, so that he can start making those choices later down the line. But her and Rio were both some of the funnier parts of the movie, and I enjoyed the interaction with them and Han. And it was like, oh, you can learn a lot from this little team, this little family that you've created.
Yeah.
But then you lose them 15 minutes later, and it's like, well, come on, guys. A little bit more wouldn't have hurt.
It was just a really wasted opportunity, and Thandi Newton's such a great actress, and it just bugs me. It just really bugs me. Like, I think she could have brought so much to the core of the movie. It really bugs me. And that's probably one of the things in the movies that just I have a really big problem with. Like, aside from, like, fridge tropes and stuff like that, like, I just think she could have brought so much, because I've seen what she's brought to performances before. And it's sad not getting to see her shine like that, especially because they build her up, like, and even in, like, interviews, right? Like, we had two women in, and I guess even in all three, but, like, specifically with Val and Kira, that are different women than we've seen in this damn universe. Like, women who have, like, gray morality or, like, complete self-interest and stuff like that. And I was just kind of like, I wanted more of that. So, but I mean, that's rewriting the movie, and I'm at the point where I'm not going to be rewriting movies for people. We got what we got.
I liked Rio, and then he died. And then we moved on.
I mean, it was really cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was pretty simple. We got it. I mean, basically, you knew two of the three had to die for the story to move on, and that's basically what we got. So after we do, after they move from there, we basically realize they messed up.
Well, did Adrian say what he thought about Val?
Well, nobody else was saying anything, so I didn't know.
I thought she was really good. I mean, I'm okay with her dying.
Yeah.
I'm okay with, like, all of these people dying, because they all kind of have to at some point. If I've learned anything from watching Star Wars Rebels, like, I can't get attached to characters, because I know they're just going to die when they place, like, these anthology stuff kind of in between stuff. So I think she would have died anyway, and I don't know if they would have been able to balance, like you were saying, Kate, like, they would have had to replace either, like, Woody Harrelson or her or somebody else, like, in the movie, because then we would have gotten, like, overwhelmed with, you know, Woody Harrelson and then Donald Glover and then Danny Newton and, like, all these amazing actors taking, like, all the screen time in a movie that is called Solo.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they definitely could have done more with it, but she would have had to die anyway. And I'm kind of cool with her kind of going out, like, on her shield kind of way, because I didn't think that they were going to kill her like that. And I was like, dang, she's just going to blow herself up for the crew. But that's a different take.
Yeah, it's interesting that she did that when you know from watching the movie that Beckett's character would never make that call.
She dies, and then it's over. And I'm just like, never once is she referenced again, really. Except for when they go meet Dryden Voss for the, like, for 1 second she's mentioned again. And then it's like, okay, Rio and Val, like, just didn't exist.
Well, that's the life of a scoundrel. They die, you gotta keep moving.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Like, it is kind of like the life of the scoundrel. Like, these people are going to die, but like, they know that they're gonna go into these things.
But then
everybody dies.
But then he referenced pieces of their conversation with her, but never once references her. So, like, it may be the life of the scoundrel, but he's obviously still, like, kind of thinking about it tangentially. Like, I mean,
just because it doesn't mean
maybe Woody Harrelson is just a dick in the movie, which we kind of get. maybe he loved her. Maybe she loved him way more than he loved her,
which is a whole nother problem. But, like, yeah, I mean, I guess this is. And this is something that I guess people have kind of been talking about, like, so far as, like, how women are treated. And I don't think this is a Solo issue. Like, I think The Last Jedi does terrible things with women, i.e. leaving the most notable character, female character in Star Wars to lay in a bed for 3/4 of the movie. Like, and so for me, I'm just kind of like, I need, if people are going to critique this, they sure as hell should have been critiquing The Last Jedi, which they weren't. And so for me, it's just, like, at least right away, like, when they came out of it. And so for me, I'm just kind of like, it sucks, but it's a Solo movie, so, like, there's not much you can do. We kind of knew that everything was just going to revolve around him.
Yeah.
So. Okay, does anybody have anything more else to add about Val or the alien before we just kill him?
They're dead now.
They're dead? All right, moving on. Just like you do in A Scoundrel Life. They're gone, they're forgotten.
Not forgotten.
They're always forgotten.
Unfortunately, because it's Star Wars.
So that brings us
to
Dryden
Voss.
Paul Bentley.
We have to go meet Dryden Voss, because Woody Harrelson, his crew apparently owed him a bunch of hyperfuel gas. Or money. Either one. And so we learned they have to go meet. This is where Han makes his lovely decision of either you can not see your face ever again, dang, or you can go, and he decides, I need to get the money so I can go back home. Very unscoundrel-like. And then, basically, they go meet Paul Bettany and Dross. And that's where we are from now.
Yeah, and this is where, like, Kira resurfaces.
Yes.
As having been, like, a part of this, like, underworld life while Han was gone. I love Paul Bettany. But I'm actually really sad because in this is Dryden Voss is a character that they reshot. He was initially supposed to be the guy who plays Chalky in Boardwalk Empire. He's in The Wire. He's an amazing actor. And so they essentially recasted Dryden Voss's character as Paul Bettany, and it frustrates me.
I just want to know what was going on with his face and his eyes, because that's not explained.
Yes. That was weird.
Stretch marks.
Yes. I don't know why it was a choice that they made, and I don't know why when he died his eyes went back to normal.
Yeah. Adrian, do you know what type of... I think he's supposed to be a half alien, half human.
Well, they just... I think they just classify him as, like, near human. So he's, like, some kind of mix. I don't know. He's, like, a new character, from my understanding. But he's alien-ish something.
Yeah.
Alien something.
I was waiting for the giant story where he's going to sit down with a blade and explain his face. It never happened. And then I was wondering how many times is Paul Bettany going to die this year.
Yeah.
And that was about it.
Yeah. He was there. Paul Bettany's a good actor. Do you all know who William is?
No.
No?
Michael K. Williams?
Michael K. Williams, that's what it is.
I mean, I know that he was supposed to be in the movie, but I haven't seen Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, neither.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Where, Boardwalk Empire.
Can he find the one with Tom Hanks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why I said Williams K. Smith. I knew there was a K and a Williams. But no, I really love Chalky in Boardwalk Empire. Like, I also just love this
actor.
Yeah,
he's been pretty good at that. Especially considering a lot of the roles he plays.
Yeah, and so for me... So when they did reshoots, or they were going to have to do reshoots, he had already taken a movie deal, and they essentially cut his character out of the movie entirely, and rewrote it for Paul Bettany. That makes me sad.
Well, I mean, that's kind of like the way this life of this whole movie went, between how many directors, how many reshoots, and how much. We didn't even get a trailer till like a month and a half before or something like that.
Yeah, it was a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know. I think for as little as Dryden Voss was in the movie, I feel like they could have made it work with his schedule if they really wanted to, personally, because Dryden Voss isn't in the movie that much.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never know how these things all work out.
Yeah, so... But yeah, Michael K. Williams. That was my only thing on the Dryden Voss note. No, he was fine. He was creepy.
He was what he was. About right. You showed him. You knew he's got to be killing somebody when you meet him because you know he's a big baddie, and then that's about it.
Yeah.
So they make a deal, and then they basically have to go pick up a ship, so then they can go steal more unrefined gas, and then they can go find it to another refinery as a compromise for losing the last set of gas. And that's where we run into Donald Glover's character, Lando.
I love Lando. I thought he was great. I thought he, like... I wanted to know more about Lando. I wanted to know, like... Because he mentioned his mother. He mentions, like, you know that he's led this life and he's retired. So he's already at, like retired. He's already at the end of his career. So you know that there's a life before this. And... I didn't want to know more about Han, and I wanted to know more about him when they were in scenes together. And I think that's just because Donald Glover is a really good actor.
I will say, I do love the fake out there, where forever we've known that Han wins the Millennium Falcon in a card game. And for them to have that card game and for Donald Glover to like cheat and Han not win the Millennium Falcon, you're like, that's not what I thought you guys were going to do. That's great.
Yeah. I do like that he kept calling him Han. That was probably one of my favorite, like, choices. And at least from what I read, that was a Donald Glover thing.
Well, that's because... Billy Williams?
Yeah.
He calls him Han, and it, you know, sparked a controversy of, is it Han or Han forever? And so this just adds fuel to that fire.
Yeah. I thought he just embodied Lando really, really well.
No, yeah, I mean, Donald Glover played Billy Dee Williams, like, to the T.
Yeah.
I also don't know... I mean, like, there's going to be some stories there, but, like, Lando is, like, literally as old as Han is, in the Star Wars universe, basically. Like, unless, like, they age his character somehow by going back. I just don't see, like, how a Lando movie would have been much different than, like, what we got here, because he's, like, a smuggler, gambler.
I just think he has a different life.
Gambler at you know, 20 whatever. So it would have probably been like a lot of him like as like a kid smuggling and gambling.
And
I don't know if
he
would have
gotten a lot of aliens.
Probably
him making a lot of really really bad deals.
Yeah,
because I'm glad they made that canon that he's just a bad deal maker.
Yeah, yeah.
I did like his line. What was it? I don't agree with it. What was it? I don't like it. I don't agree with it, but I accept it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
he also had a like throwaway line there about Aura Singh and how Beckett kills her, and Aura Singh's a pretty popular bounty hunter, and so I felt like it was weird to just kind of like throw that into the movie.
They also threw Bossk into the movie.
Yeah, they just name dropped Bossk at one point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's much else. I mean, he really doesn't. You don't get much more Lando in the movie than you do in the trailers.
Pretty much.
You get a lot more with him and L3 and sort of
their relationship. You get that, but it's, like, somebody, like, it's just, yeah. It's everything else I knew, it's all in the trailers. That was one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's because you have to show off the best part of the movie.
Oh, I do think people got hyped when they saw how good Donald Glover looked as Lando. Like, he really just embodied that. I forgot to mention L3, his droid.
Well, I was going to get that when you got done talking about Lando. I was like, all right, after they start to deal with Lando, we find out that his droid is fighting for robot rights, and then they have to leave. And that's when we meet L3.
Yeah. I loved L3. I thought it was hilarious. And he was just like, oh, God, here she goes again.
Yeah, I liked L3 a lot. Droids continue to be, like, the best part of these movies for me. Like, without a doubt.
Like, K2?
The droids have always been there to provide the comedy, and so L3 was just another example in a long line of great droids. Yeah.
I will say this. The one thing I loved about L3 is that you could tell that that Lando genuinely cared about her, whether or not there was a relationship there or not. Like, I don't think there was. I think that she just was saying that there was because she's, like, all, like, self-assertive.
I think there was, like, a friendship
there. There was a relationship there, as in, like,
I don't know, man. Like, she literally says, oh, it works. Like, that, you don't say stuff like that unless, like,
I know a lot of people who lie about having sex.
She's a droid. What does a droid got to lie for? She's a droid. She don't got to lie about anything.
Dude, she, like the entire thing is her wanting to, like, have this, like, this type of conversation and, like, insert herself into it and, like, that kind of stuff. Like, I've known people that lie about that.
You can say all that, but he ran back through an entire battlefield just to pick up her dead.
Yeah, like, I don't understand how people don't see that they're
romantic love. Are you going to leave your best friend back there? Are you going to leave your co-pilot? Are you going to leave the person that you have gone on so many adventures with just lying in the middle of a battlefield, whether or not you
all
have
of those,
sex with them?
Every single person,
I mean,
you just mentioned.
If it was Tim or Alex, yeah, I'd leave them.
I mean, you're probably talking to the wrong people.
Because all of those people, I've never had a conversation about whether it would work or not. Is the difference there. I love Matt, but I've never been like, it works. But I would still run and save Matt if he's like shot on the ground somewhere.
But you're also straight men, and L3 is L3 of a gender, a female gendered robot, and he's a man. Like, it, that, like, I'm sorry. Like,
but she's the one who talks about it.
I know.
Like, it's not like we're insinuating it.
No,
she's the one who talks
does.
About it.
I'm not saying she doesn't. I'm just saying, like, I just don't automatically assume that that's what was happening. I thought it was a funny line that she mentioned.
I think that there's more there
to into Emilia Clarke's conversation.
I think there's more there in the movie that says that they probably had something than to say that there isn't, because all of, like, the lines and him, you know, going back to save her and being super emotional about it and saying all that stuff shows more that it might happen than it might not
be
the case.
But you can have those feelings and still be platonic. Like, the only difference is that she is a female robot. I just don't think that that was strong enough for me. I thought he just loved her because she was the same way Han.
You also never hear
Chewie.
You never hear, like, Han and Kira hold hands once in the beginning of the movie, and then he spends, you know, the whole movie trying to go back after.
I'm just saying.
I think you get more, like, about L3 talking about Lando in that kind of way than you ever do hear about Kira talking about Han in that kind of way.
No, you just have them almost having sex in a closet.
Yeah, almost.
So,
it works.
I'm just saying, I don't think of it that way.
Hey, if you would have had 15 extra minutes in that movie, or in a Lando movie, there would have been some Closet L3 stuff going on.
And if there is Closet L3 stuff going on,
I don't want to think about this.
Like, amongst his many, many capes, I'm fine with that. I just don't think there has to be a sexual connection between a man and a woman to go back and save somebody. Like, not all
I'm not saying that there has to be either, so. But she's the one who insinuates, like, sexual connection and stuff
and
in the movie.
And she exaggerates that's so in, much stuff in the movie.
That's like, in the movie. It's not like we're making this up. It happens in the movie. It's not
and
like we're making it up
no,
and people are just like,
up,
oh,
but
guys and girls gotta have sex.
I'm
like, no,
saying,
she's the one who brings it up.
It's a I think that character in and of herself is a hyperbole.
So,
honestly.
Does she care about droid rights or not? Or is that a hyperbole, too?
I think
she's very extra. She is a very extra character, and she's gonna, like, say whatever she wants to say. Like,
well, most people that are extra and stuff usually don't lie, either.
I don't know. I just don't see it. I think that they just loved each other, and I don't think it necessarily had to be sexual.
I don't know. I just know the droid was the one that brought it up, as Adrian said.
Unless I get Lando screwing a droid, screwing L3 in the Lando movie...
I think at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter to the story.
It doesn't. No, he loved her, and that's it. And he went back to save her, and it was sad. And then she's a part of the ship. And she was funny.
Yeah, I guess if you go back and read through the Last Jedi like novelization, there is bits where the Millennium Falcon has a distinct personality, and it's like, oh, where did this come from? And now you have sort of an answer to that is because L3 is integrated with the ship.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, even in the original trilogy, you had C-3PO being like, "Yes, a very peculiar dialect," and now you kind of know like where that's from, which I think is great.
I will say this: ultimately, what my main point was supposed to be was that it was nice to see the droids like K2 mean more than just being droids in the background.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it all comes down to. Like, K2 and L3 are some of, like, the best characters, I think, that have come out in this new, like, wave of Star Wars.
They have personalities, agency, and, like, they mean something to the people that they're with.
Yeah, they're not just mouse
droids. Do you like them more than BB-8, then?
No, yes. Because BB-8, well...
I do.
I like K2 more than BB-8. I don't like L3 more than BB-8, and that's only because I love how Oscar Isaac plays Poe with BB-8, because that's obviously his puppy. Like,
yeah, I like
that. That's
I like the way Oscar Isaac interacts with BB-8. I don't know if I like BB-8 more.
Yeah, I get like
I don't. Yeah,
yeah. Like for me, it's just like their relationship together. Like BB-8 is like that's his puppy. Like that's what it is.
Well, that's always been the appeal of R2 is how 3PO acts with
them. Yes, exactly. So I think it's just nice to see the humans interacting with them so strongly as opposed to just those two like together.
Just so two what? Together.
Yeah. Okay.
If it works.
Anyway.
You can have sex with fishmen.
This is an audio podcast. People cannot see his hand movements.
Okay, next.
If we didn't learn anything from Shape of Water, if the anatomy works, it works.
Yep.
All right, so moving on from there, after they go, they decide they finally end up at another planet, basically a gas station planet, where they decide they need to break in as... prisoners to escape all or extort or export
steal the unrefined
steal.
Gas.
That's not how you say it properly, though. You need to say it with like, "I'm not a criminal. I'm here to export commandeer all of your gas." And so they basically devise your basic heist plan. They go in there usually as a prisoner do. Then they basically surprise them, shock, and they start a full-fledged rebellion.
L3 single-handedly starts a full-fledged rebellion.
Yes, L3 starts a droid rebellion.
They say make a distraction, and she's like, "I've made a distraction," and everybody's just like, there's like that little droid just like stomping on top of like the computer console, and that might be one of my favorite like droid moments of anything.
Which then leads to the whole point as we talk to L3 getting blown up pretty much, and Lando running back crying to save her. Dying.
And Chewbacca getting to interact with Wookiees.
Yes.
And probably one of the best Chewbacca scenes
in the history.
I mean, you glossed completely over him ripping a dude's arms
off. Oh, yeah. And Han just looks at him like, "I wasn't going to wear that or anything," because he's like the thing. And it's just, it's awesome. And Chewbacca's just like, eh. He was, they're, slamming the people.
I don't really care about your plan. I care more about going to save these Wookiees who are being abused over here.
Yeah.
Which I love, because that's what it should be about.
And you have to love that interaction with Han, where Han's like, I need you to do this job, but I get it, so I'm going to give you the weapon that I could probably use.
Yeah.
But this is more important. I can't help you, but I'm not going to stop you.
And I think...
It's very much the Han torn between trying to be a scoundrel and trying to be the good guy.
Yeah. And I think that also, like, for me, I think that's why I think that the Han and Chewie interactions are so good, is because that kind of forms the foundation of, like, at least for me, looking forward at the foundation of their relationship and their loyalty to each other.
For sure.
More Wookiees, man.
More Wookiees.
We don't need any more aliens. Only people. Only ones that matter. I don't know what I knew.
I haven't seen the Star Wars Christmas special, but I'm just going to throw this out here. We don't need more Wookiees.
Well,
you shut your mouth,
if you're basing
Ryan.
It off of that, I don't know if I can disagree.
You shut your mouth.
Wookiees need liberation, too.
Yep.
Ryan.
So then we get through, basically, they obviously survive. Chewbacca decides to leave his Wookiee pals and come back with him. They go find on the refinery planet, which is basically more sand. And they land their busted up ship after going through, and where we find out, basically, they have to do the Kessel Run, which is where we get there. And
the Kessel Run's not a race. No. That's probably the biggest thing we find out, that it's not a race.
What's ever been a race?
I always thought it was a race.
No, it's not, they basically showed you, I think, the best iteration of, what the Kessel Run could have been. Like, trying to get through this crazy space thing in, the shortest amount of time. I think, before that, it was, 20 parsecs or something like that, and he does it in 12, which I think is amazing. And they give you, the big maw.
Yeah.
The big thing that's supposed to be at the middle of it, and the big space alien thing. I thought it was fantastic.
I thought it was amazing. I have no problem with it not being a race. I'm just saying, I don't read
They finally explained it.
It's been a race.
Yeah, exactly. They finally explained it to you more than just it's 14 parsecs, 12. Like, they made it more than just a passing, line in the movie, and actually showed you exactly what they meant by, the Kessel Run, which I think is great. And they put in, the asteroid theme music into it.
Yeah.
The integration of the music was so great in that whole
Also, Han
sequence.
Gets his own song for, the first time, I think.
Yeah, he does.
That whole scene was beautifully shot, from the Star Destroyer lowering down into it and them having to go through the asteroids. Everything about that felt like classic Star Wars.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun for me. And then Chewie just sitting in the seat and just punching all this stuff. He's like, dude, I'm 190.
No, the funniest thing is,
of course I know
Clark
how to do
not
this.
Knowing what to do, and then realizing he needs to do it, and just reaching over and then doing it. And he's like, oh wow, okay. Yeah, which I think goes to hand that Emilia Clarke's character really doesn't do much.
I don't know about you guys, but the whole theater started, cheering as soon as Chewie sat in the
seat. I was excited. That was gosh. Yeah, I have another hype moment that's coming at the end. But, that was when I was like, yes!
Yes.
Yeah, I thought it was really well done and not, super forced. Yeah. It fit in well, in the moment.
Yeah.
That was something that Chewbacca would do just because, not because, he wants to be the co-pilot, but just because he knows how to do it.
Oh my god, we're gonna die if I don't put this on.
Yeah, like he might be a better pilot than anybody else that we've seen.
I think he is.
I think he's just too nice of a guy to he just has way more experience than anybody, but I think he's just too nice of a Wookiee to be
What's the problem? He's a Wookiee and everybody just writes him off because he's a Wookiee and humans are more important.
Chewbacca, best pilot in the galaxy.
Yep.
I mean, we don't know what happened for the 190 years.
True.
Yep.
We don't know.
For all we know, he really did the Kessel Run faster than Han.
So, after they make Chewie in the Kessel Run, they basically finally land on the sand planet with this broken-down ship, beat up, but somehow the tracker device somehow stays on there, the only piece of equipment that stayed on the ship, amazingly, through this entire process. And they crash land into the refining planet, and that's where we finally get to meet as whatever her name is.
Nest.
Yes, I do not know how to pronounce it.
Infest Nest. Yeah. So, we met her before, and she's the reason Val dies.
Yes.
We met her and her crew. They're the ones that Beckett's crew is contending with to get the fuel And so, essentially, you find out that Enfys Nest is actually not another smuggling organization, but they're working against the Crimson Dawn, right? That's the name of it? Crimson Dawn?
Yes.
Yeah. Fighting against Crimson Dawn in order to secure fuel for to pretty much fund the rebellion. And you find out, this is where we get, like, okay, so I don't necessarily want a movie for Enfys Nest, her. I want it to know that entire line of aliens that are behind her. Because, like, she explains that, like, all the people, the Cloud Riders that she's with, they're there because their planets have been ravaged by the Empire. And for me, if you gave me that movie, it'd be more interesting so far as aliens and actual detriments to, like, alien home planets than anything I've gotten in any of the trilogies.
Yeah, this shows you more that, like, Star Wars needs to stop doing human stuff and give us more aliens.
Yeah. And I thought the reveal was really nice. I really like her. And I want, like, I don't, it's not necessarily, I don't just want a movie about her. I want to know the history of the Cloud Riders. I want to see, like, these, like, aliens actually having problems and not being surrounded by humans and, like, showing that humans are the ones doing this thing. They're not, like, these saviors coming in from the rebellion. Like, that's what the rebellion should look like. One human, whole bunch of not humans.
Yeah, it was a good recap.
You want some pretty bleak movies. All your movies are going to be very sad.
I know they are, but it's Star Wars. Is there ever a happy movie?
It was a good recanonization of the Cloud Riders, to be honest, because, like, when they said Cloud Riders...
They look so cool.
I just thought they were just going to be bad guys, because in, like, the Legends material back in the day, like, the Cloud Riders are just, like, this swoop gang of, like, pirate things. So, like, to make them, you know, one part of, like, the Grander Rebellion, I thought was super dope, and I didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
And again, they look so cool.
Yeah! Yeah. That costume design. Oh, I loved it. That's probably one of my favorite helmets in Star Wars. It looked great.
It did look
great. It looked really good. So, yeah. So that's pretty much, like, those are the things that I wanted that I probably won't get and distracted me from Alden as Han. Okay, you can keep going now.
No, I don't get to say anything.
Oh, did you like him?
Oh, I liked him. And then we finally got aliens, and this is also why everybody keeps yelling and everything else, and once again, why in The Last Jedi nobody answered the damn phone, because it's all the stupid humans there, and it's terrible characterization when it literally should be a bunch of aliens.
Yeah.
And we hear this story, and we know this, and we know they're starting a rebellion, and the fact that we have all these humans and no aliens right now is awful, and disrespectful.
We also got Warwick Davis.
Yes! I actually said his name out loud when he showed up on screen. And nice. He showed up in Rogue One as well. Mm-hmm. I believe it's the same character, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, I think a few of the characters from the Cloud Riders show up in Rogue One.
Yeah, which makes them somewhat aligned with the Partisans, right?
No, like, yeah, kind of source. Like, at this time, like, you have kind of, like, different collectives of resistant units. They're not, like, a whole thing, which is why, like, the divide between the Partisans and, like, the Grand Rebellion happens, so... It's all interconnected is basically what they're giving you when they have, like, those characters kind of in the background. Or at least they're going to be interconnected down the timeline of, like, the sequence of events. And you also get, like, some throwbacks to some prequel characters in those scenes, too, which I think is
which
good
are?
Tie-ins. I don't remember his name. Off the top of my head. He wasn't one of the aliens. He's one of, like... Warwick Davis is in a bunch of stuff in Star Wars is basically what I'm trying to get, like, across here. And, like, they've said that the character is more or less, like, the same. His character, like, Weasel in the Star Wars Solo A Star Wars Story is also, like, the same Weasel that we see, like, in one of the prequel movies.
Nice.
So there's, like,
how old
long
is he?
Tie-ins. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's, like, long tie-ins in this movie.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, from there, we basically... This is where basically Han tries to convince Beckett to basically let's turn on Crimson Dawn when they're about to show up to get all the gas. And then it kind of says, no, I'm not going to. And then you don't know what's going to happen in your classic heist moment movie. We're going to basically have some moment where somebody's going to betray somebody or what's going to happen. We don't know. So then basically Emilia Clarke and Han basically decide to go to see Crimson Dawn on the ship to deliver the crystals or gas to Paul Bettany. Where we have basically
things don't go well.
Nope. And things that are predictable do not go well. So basically, Beckett double cross. That's Woody Harrelson always does.
Yep.
But then they find out that they knew this was coming, so they actually brought the gas. Beckett leaves with Chewie with the gas. And then Emilia Clarke.
I will say, during this moment, Beckett has one of my favorite lines, which is, after shooting the two guards, him being like, I want to think, and I want to be the only person with blasters in my hand while I do this.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a really good line.
Which then leads to basically a three-way battle between Emilia Clarke's character, Han, and Paul Bettany.
Mostly just Emilia Clarke and Paul Bettany.
Well, they all start at that.
Han then just shoots a little bit and hides, and then Emilia Clarke grabs the sword and then takes over from there.
Yes.
Which was badass! Her fight was so good! Like, I'm kind of really mad I didn't get to see her do that on the planet, because, like, they do it, and L3's like, oh, wow, you could do that? Like, just show me behind the door! Like, show me she can do it! And then it was really cool to see her do that then. Yeah.
Then, as usual, Paul Bettany dies. Then Han says, let's make a run for it. She says, I'll meet you outside.
We need money for our ship.
Yep, we need money. Let's go. And they take off, and we basically have the last exchange between Beckett and Beckett and Han. And they finally meet back up to him, and they start talking. And this is where we have, basically, she's always a survivor. Han shoots first to kill him. He's proud of him, even though he's dying, because he shot first. Basically, in his dying breath, says, I'm proud of you.
Yeah, for like doing I was going to kill you first.
Yes. And then you realize, basically, after 2 hours, we finally get to probably the thing where you find out that Emilia Clarke character decides, I'm staying, and I'm going to run this shop.
Yeah.
This ship, and then you have the great reveal that somebody can take from here.
Darth Maul! Darth Maul shows up! And it's so badass! And it makes me so happy! And he mentions Dathomir! And then I was like, holy fuck, why couldn't I just get a Darth Maul movie on Dathomir instead? But it was awesome.
Yeah, I'm very excited for Darth Maul to be back on the big screen, because he's been a part of Clone Wars and Rebels. But there was always more stories to tell with Darth Maul, and so for them to actually bring him back is a big deal. And I think it's going to surprise a lot of people who only go see Star Wars movies and don't really watch the TV shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine with that reveal, and I don't care if people didn't know why, because I knew why. And his character design's like literally out of Star Wars Rebels, like down to like the way his lightsaber looks.
So I had to explain that to a friend because they haven't watched Rebels yet, and I was like, no, eventually it'll be a cane, it's very cool, it's awesome.
Yeah, which I think is amazing and kind of shows why, like, Emilia Clarke's, why Kira's like, I'm probably not going to double-cross this dude, because he's scary, he's a scary Dathomirian with a lightsaber, and, you know.
And they drop that Drayden Voss has someone that even he has to answer to.
Yeah.
And they mention it pretty ominously, being like, there's more at play here than you know. And so for it to be Darth Maul is such a good reveal.
I almost lost my shit. He looks so good. And I'm like, Ray Park!
Yeah, and I don't know if it's like setting up like other movies, because like this, I don't know if they're going to do anything with this in like a Kenobi, because that's the only way that like, you're going to get me to go see, like, to be excited about a Kenobi movie is if Darth Maul
and Ian
is
McGuire.
The great thing about this is Darth Maul is played by Ray Park, but the voice is Sam Witwer, who is the voice
Starkiller.
In Rebels and Starkiller. And so it's like, you brought these two people who've embodied this role, and you really put them together for something great here.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think it just shows, like, I hope that like, this shows that, like, Star Wars is going to start bringing in, if they're going to be doing these movies, I hope that they do this, like, these are kind of like extra ancillary movies, so why not put your extra ancillary stories that you have and all these other things into these movies and kind of like bridge that gap between movie watcher, comic book reader, and, you know, cartoon watcher, which I think this movie does a great job of, because it puts so much stuff in from like all of the stuff that they have kind of showing you Star Wars, and it kind of gives you into like one movie whether you know it or not. Because a lot of things that you're excited about, Kate, are stuff that, like, they're recanonizing and making, like, a thing, which is amazing. Especially with, like, the Darth Maul stuff, because he looks like... Because from when we see Darth Maul last in the Clone Wars, he's basically smacked up by Sidious and, like, lost his crime syndicate status. And now he's kind of, like, back in his crime syndicate status. And then when we see him again in Rebels, he's, like, a broken-down old man. So, like, there's, like, gaps of his story that they can definitely tell with this one reveal alone.
Yeah. Which I think for me is where, like, this is where I kind of fall in this movie. Just because the amount of stuff I saw. And maybe, Adrian, if I had, like, a lot of, like, the extra EU knowledge or, like, it's, like, the background stuff course. That you saw,
I think that's
that might be why
is.
I would have been, maybe for me it would have been a necessary film. But for me, like, I want so much of these other stories that we've never seen before. I have four movies of Han. And so, like, that no. And I love Han. Like, this isn't because I hate Han or I don't think Han should have, like, I love Han. But we have had Han for years and years and years and years. Like, we could have put this into a movie on characters that don't get that much and, like, really make it, like, this is a true anthology. Like Rogue One was. Like, bringing people who, like, we don't know. Like, so for me, that's...
Like, more people?
Well, I want aliens. I want to see Asajj Ventress and some Night Sisters, and I want to see Dathomir, and, like, there's just so many bigger stories. Or not necessarily bigger, but there are other stories out there, and so for me, I think that's why I left the movie feeling really meh, because the Han part didn't pay off, for me. Probably because I don't have all that extra ingrained knowledge, like, I will say that, but then for me, it's also, like, when you go in as as just a movie watcher, you shouldn't have to rely on that to get the excitement.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like, after watching this, I kind of felt, you know, like how when we talked about in our Deadpool 2 review, that you loved it so much because you had, like, all this, like, prior background, like, comic knowledge. That's how I felt about this movie and why I liked it so much. And like, as I was, like, after I came out of it, I was like, man, Kate's not gonna see all of this stuff that I know that she would love if she had, like, the background knowledge. So it's kind of like basically how you felt about Deadpool is how I feel about this movie, with all of, like, the extra ancillary stuff that doesn't really, like, drive plot, but it's so nice and so cool to see, like, when Ryan was talking about earlier about Ara Singh getting name dropped, Boss getting name dropped, them talking about, like, the Zahn sisters. Like, these are all, like, things that we're probably never going to see in the big screen. Maybe in the Boba Fett movie. I don't know. Maybe
so, I have a question for you guys.
There better not be a single human other than Boba on that damn thing.
I really hope not.
Because I will be pissed.
Did you guys catch the Mandalorian armor in the background?
In the background, near complete.
Yes. Yeah, and so it was just like, is this Boba Fett's armor? Or am I going to get these answers? Because it was very dark and I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
But that's just kind of like what I've been waiting to say, to be honest. Because, like, even stuff like the small name drop of, like, the Terry Kazi style that she talks about, like, having learned, like, that's Legends material, like, up
it's
the
a deep
yin-yang.
Cut to an old game.
Yeah. Well, it's like, even the game, the fact that it's, like, a fighting style, like, for, like, the Jedi and the Sith, the fact that it's, like, in Star Wars Galaxies is, like, something that you can actually do and be a master of. And for them to put that in the movie for the first time is super, super great. And shows that, like, as soon as they name drop that, I'm like, oh, Kira knows how to jack some motherfuckers up.
Yeah.
If she knows, you know, that fighting style.
If only they had shown it more than once in the movie.
Yeah, which makes me hope that, like, if they do more stuff and if they continue with, like, this Kira story. I mean, I know that she said, like, Drayden Voss, like, taught her, but, like, in my head canon, I'm hoping, like, Maul taught her. Yeah, Maul taught her some, like, Terry Kazi style.
Taught Drayden, and Drayden taught her.
Yeah, it's like there's some apprenticeship stuff going on. I don't know, but that's just me just hoping, but...
I don't know. All of these things just sound more interesting than I got from this movie, personally.
Yeah, I want to see more of Maul. I want to see more of Kira. I don't know that I need to see more of Han.
I don't want to see more of Han.
I always want to see more Lando, so...
I think at this point, I don't even want to, like... I've thought about it, because I love Donald Glover. But stop giving me movies based on characters we already have.
We don't
have.
Need a Lando
we
movie.
Don't need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't need a Lando movie. I mean,
I'll take him as a side character. Like,
Because they name-dropped the Old Republic in this movie, so, like, yo, stop name-dropping the Old Republic and just give me movies about the Old Republic, please. Yeah. Just do it.
It's kind of like how I was on, like, our Lord of the Rings episode. Like, just
exactly.
Go deep, far back. So that I don't have to hear stories that are pretty much already freaking complete. I know what happens to Han in the end. Like I,
you don't want a young Aragorn movie?
No, I don't.
TV show?
Shut your mouth. Whole another bag of worms.
No, you'll hear that on Wednesday.
Yeah, we're releasing our Lord of the Rings movie one, and I go to town. We all go to town, actually.
No. I think this is the problem that I have with this movie. Is listen to you guys go, I want other movies.
Yeah.
which means if you have to watch a movie and the only thing you keep thinking about is other movies, then you probably don't have that great of a movie to start with. It may not be a bad movie, but it's not an amazing movie because all you want is other movies.
Yeah, which is where I fell.
Definitely
on it.
Not. I think, yeah, this is a perfectly fine movie, but it introduces more interesting ideas than the idea of the movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not necessarily making it a bad movie, but it's definitely not going to stand out because all you want is other different movies, and it's making me think about other things other than like what I am watching.
Yeah, we, in my head, I kept thinking, like, okay, like, I walked out of, because I bought my tickets as soon as they were on sale, as soon as, like, Matt didn't want to go, but I bought them the moment they were on sale when Adrian told me, and I was like, yes, because I wanted to see it, and I was hoping to get more different things, and it didn't fill that gap for me, which I guess is kind of on my side for expecting to get different things when literally it's a Han prequel. But I get, like, I think to that point, like, for me, I can take this out and put in a different movie. Like, maybe Chewie's life until he gets into the pit, and I'm good. Give me Kira learning the Terrakazi style. I'm good. Give me Enfys Nest assembling that team of Cloud Riders. I'm good. Give me Lando to a very lesser extent, but I did want to know more about his character. But, like, those, give me a movie on Dathomir. Like, all of those I could replace with this. Like, it's not a sense. Whereas, like, when I saw Rogue One, I would not replace Rogue One with anything. Even though I know that this is the Death, what's going to happen to the Death Star. And even though, like, I would not replace that movie because of how much I love it. Whereas this one, it was, like, it's not bad. I don't hate it. I don't even dislike it. It's just, it's there for me.
And I think with Rogue One, that one's telling a tighter story.
Yes.
Like, that is, you're starting off with a character, you're going through the hero's journey with them, and then you're watching that character eventually sacrifice themselves, and it's just like, that's the story. There is no in-between. There's no other things I want to know about Jin or the rebels here. Because their most important, like, sacrifice was right there at the end. Like,
and not only that, it did a service to all of their side characters, in my opinion. I fell in love with every person in that movie. So, and for here, like, I still don't like Jin, but I don't like her because of how well, like, what her character as a whole. Like, her character is a good character because there's things in that character that I don't like. But it's a well-done character. Like, she is still important to that story, even if I don't like her. But whereas this, I'm kind of like, what Matt said.
All right, well, I guess get into, that's the entire movie, I guess, break into, I don't know if you want to go through box office and how we thought and the reception.
Which, honestly, I'm wondering, like, so the box office right now, it's made $103 million, which is way, domestically, which is way less than they thought that it was projected to make.
What was it projected?
I think it was 118.
No.
Okay.
Oh, are you talking about, like, what they thought or what projected
after
in general?
After Thursday, what they projected. Because they had projected way higher.
Yeah, they projected 130, 150. They thought they were going to finally beat the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Yes, they did not.
And then after that, they adjusted down. They adjusted it down to 118 for domestic gross, and it ended up hitting 103. 103 and change, which I think may honestly just be because we've talked about it a lot with how, like, The Last Jedi kind of does alienate people who don't want to go read more and stuff like that. By the way, I thought all the women in this movie, even though I have problems with how they were dealt with, were better than Rose. So
everything's better than Rose.
So that's where that is. They had more lines. They had more agency.
They had a purpose.
But beyond that, I think this kind of, like, goes back to the idea of, like, Adrian, like, the reason this really resonates for you is because you have all that extra knowledge. And that's why it hits, like, a home run. Or not necessarily a home run. I don't want to put words in your mouth. But, like, you really loved this movie when you walked out because you could grasp onto that. Whereas, like, there were some stuff I caught nowhere near as much as you and Ryan.
I didn't catch as much as even you guys did.
Yeah, and so it's just, like, for me, I can easily see this movie, like, being from the general audience and being like, oh.
If I was a general audience goer, I would not like this movie at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, like, I can totally understand why people are not feeling the movie. And we didn't even talk about like the diversity stuff that like Star Wars Twitter is going on about, and a lot of it rightfully so. But this movie has like a lot of like deep cuts into like legends and kind of the current expanded universe material. And this is kind of like the first movie where I've gotten that, like where I feel like there was like a payoff for me from reading all these books when I was a kid and then watching, you know, the seasons of Star Wars Rebels and everything like that. Like, I don't know.
It helps make the universe feel lived in.
Yeah, it makes the universe actually feel big, and we're not just doing a car chase for 2 hours on, like, two planets. Like, there's actually, like, lots of planets. There's, like, lots of people that we have heard about. Like, there's lots of stuff in the universe, and this movie kind of gave that to me. I think the other big problem is that we don't know, like, what their plan is for, like, all of these anthology movies. Like, are they just going to continue on and, like, make this, like, the start of, like, some random trilogy thing of, like, Boba Fett and then Kenobi stuff? I don't know. I just think... And then I really think that them placing this movie as, like, a summer blockbuster was just, like, a huge mistake. Like,
yeah.
Just huge, huge
it
mistake.
It should not have come after Infinity War and Deadpool.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I think
that's too much in May.
I think it's too much in May, and then, like... If you go look at Memorial Day opening weekends, like, not very many of, like, the movies that come out at that time are good. It kind of seems always... it's always seemed like a dumping ground for, like, your movies and kind of, like, hope that stuff sticks and hits on that Memorial Day weekend. And to see, like, Solo at that point... I don't know if it would have done better if they would have done this in, like, the end of the summer or into, like, December or something. But I definitely think, you know, Deadpool pulling $40 million in its second weekend doesn't help Solo
as an R-rated movie, having half the audience that can come to it, which I will,
and then still Infinity War pulling in $16 million this past weekend, like that's money coming away from a Solo. And we talked about that way back when we were like talking about like how we were excited for these movies, how much these movies were going to pull away from each other in terms of like box office gross. And I think this kind of shows that like space out your blockbusters, but then Disney's getting all the money, so like does it matter? I don't know.
But then on the other side of that, I would say Deadpool 2 topped its numbers for what it thought it was going to make, even though technically Infinity War should have eaten into at least a little bit of that. But that being said, Solo coming after 2 definitely puts it at a disadvantage. But I do genuinely think that there is a general audience disconnect that is now growing within Star Wars that is a problem that needs to be addressed.
See, that's what I was going to go with. Yeah. From my standpoint, you can talk about that, but between The Last Jedi and excluding, if you want to even exclude that part of the thing, if you're a general audience, you probably don't care to go see this movie. And if you watch this movie, there's probably hardly, besides maybe Han and maybe Chewie, there's probably nothing you're really going to get connected to in general. Maybe Darth Maul at the beginning. Or at the end, my bad.
Yeah.
But as from a general audience and, like, not background, this movie just falls completely flat and no interest at all. And I think, like I said, they're getting farther and far away where I got to read 10 books.
Yeah.
I'm not reading 10 books. I've watched Clone Wars. It was great. But I shouldn't have to watch that to enjoy your movie.
Yeah. And I think ultimately, too, like, what this also points out is, like, when it comes... And this is probably one of my biggest issues with people using box office numbers on Twitter is you have people who are shutting down criticisms about The Last Jedi by saying, but it's making a lot of money, so it doesn't matter. And now they're trying to do the same thing. Well, box office doesn't matter with Solo. And it's like, you either use the numbers the entire time, and it does... I personally don't think box office matters to make a good movie. Like,
no, I mean, I even tweeted out, Adrian, look at the Transformers.
Like,
Fast and the Furious is one of my favorite franchises of all time, and
that's because it's perfect, and I won't hear otherwise.
It has multiple movies in the top 30 all time domestic growth, and they're not amazingly perfect. You know
why? Because the worldwide,
but people just like having fun watching movies.
Yeah, and so when people are like, "Oh, it didn't tank," you can't say it. No, it tanked overseas compared to other Star Wars movies. It tanked.
Yeah,
like it made $84 million its opening weekend, and that's a 4-day. The 4-day is 103, and then the opening weekend, the 3-day is 84. Whereas the opening weekend for Rogue One, which is most comparable because it's not a part of the saga, made $155 million.
Yeah, and I think we're also running into the problem of like movies opening like late in China. Like Infinity War got released like late over there, so I think like Infinity War was still like one or two in the China box office, which is obviously like a huge, huge box office. Yeah. juggernaut for these movies. Yeah. I think like Solo was like third or something like that there, because people are still catching up on stuff that got released.
Looking at this, if we really want to be comparable, I mean, I think the movie before does make a difference, because you are coming, because as much you
because
Rogue One, I mean, much as you say, you know, comparable, Rogue One's coming right off, basically Rogue One releases basically almost the exact time as basically Solo does, 1 year
basically. Oh no, this is a closed date.
Oh,
this
my bad.
Isn't
my
the
bad.
Release date.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Where is it going? Where's my release? Okay, so it is but anyways, 1 year right after The Force Awakens.
Yeah, which The Force Awakens, like, that movie was a big high and a comeback. And I think I honestly think a lot of this is, like, the divisiveness that The Last Jedi did have. I think it does kind of show that what we had said on the podcast, like, when we had talked to general audience, like, people who are casual, like, don't actually go deep into the lore, don't really care more about it. Like, they just want to go watch a movie. Yeah. That movie didn't resonate with them.
I will also say, depending on, this is probably more my opinion, I don't know exactly, but at least the last two Star Wars movies, including everything else, even going into Rogue One, when I think of Star Wars, I think of lightsabers battles and space and aliens and all this stuff, and we keep moving, at least my opinion, farther and farther away from that, and we're trying to go into the smuggler thing and all the stuff and real-world things, and that's fine and all, but when I think of Star Wars or what I want from, like, actually being, you know, like, in space with a giant universe and all this technology and lightsabers and the Force and everything, you're not... linked to me, you're not getting that anymore. And they want to make these, I guess, more relatable. And
it's like, an action adventure. Like, yeah, that is genre.
I don't want that. I want sci-fi actual fantasy.
This is the thing, though, I liked most about this was, for the first time, we have a Star Wars movie where the fate of the entire universe isn't really dependent upon this story.
Yeah.
It's just like a smuggler doing his thing with his friends. And so I don't feel like, you know, if they don't blow up this ship, it's going to, you know, destroy a bunch of planets. Literally is, let's just make a quick buck, get our ship, and have some fun.
Yeah,
and that's what I really enjoy about
which I'm fine with. Like, I am genuinely fine with that. It's not a big issue for me, Matt. But it's also because the three of us saying that it's not an issue for us are people who love Star Wars as a world and not necessarily Star Wars at the movies. If you're a person who just goes off of Star Wars at the movies, which is where Star Wars makes the most of its money...
I can find a way better heist movie if I want to watch a heist movie.
Ant-Man.
If I want to watch sci-fi fantasy...
I'm pretty sure Star Wars makes most of its money off of its toys.
We're going to bring all that
in. Yeah, we're going to go merch, but I'm saying, like...
If we want to talk about how soulless they are, we can go
there. The people who, like, are obsessed with Star Wars to the point that they named their child Anakin, they're not bringing in the largest part of Disney's money.
That's just a mistake. Go with Luke.
No, there
at least
is
then you can lie and
actually
say that it's a biblical name.
They're not bringing in the most part of the money. And I think when you alienate that base, you...
Not even just the base, you're alienating the general population.
Yeah.
And you cannot do that to an extent.
Yeah.
And I know people want to yell, bitch, and do whatever, but I'm sorry. You cannot alienate the general population to have sustaining movies.
Yeah. I mean, and it would be the same thing if it happened to, like, Adrian, like with X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah, I think that's like the perfect. Ironically, came out the same weekend. it's just kind of like, I mean, to be honest and to be perfectly fair, like, I like that I feel this way because, like, for so long and for, like, so many comic book movies that, like, I was like, man, I wish I would have, you know, read more comics as a kid. But this, I was like, no, I got it all, and I'm about it. I'm sorry that, like. I really genuinely, like, want everyone to be able to, like, consume all the media and to kind of get that experience, like watching it, like, as I'm sure, like, you did with, like, X-Men Apocalypse. But it does. It runs into those same problems of kind of, like, being too fan service-y. Yeah. But this is kind of, like, the first really super fan service-y movie that we've gotten from Star Wars, and which makes it kind of, like, okay to me. And then the other thing is that we don't know what movies we're getting. So, like, if we have, like, a timeline, kind of like how we do with
the MCU,
you know, the phase, the phases of the MCU, and it's like, okay, well, this Solo movie is like this because it's leading up to XYZ kind of thing, then maybe they would get away with it a little bit more. But you're right, they are alienating certain part of the audiences, and it kind of sucks. But I am selfishly okay with it this time.
No, which I understand.
You have to
go ahead, Ryan.
You have to wonder if this, like, Darth Maul reveal is going to come back up later, or if this is just like that was a nice way to end this movie.
Yeah. If it's like that, then I'm disappointed. But I'm...
Yeah.
Yeah.
cautiously optimistic that they're going to do more with it.
Yeah.
Because he just looked amazing. But we'll see.
Amazing. It was so cool. I loved his gold necklace.
Oh, the as soon as I saw his metal legs and the voice, yeah. I lost it in the theater. I was like patting the person I was with. I was like, you're not even ready.
I did that. But yeah.
I was sitting next to Tim and we both kind of lost our shit.
Yeah. Like there are great parts of this movie. I'm just like, I'm slowly becoming I used to be a person who said, but all these parts are my favorite, so it's great. And I'm slowly, I'm just like, I guess because I'm getting more and more movies like that where there are parts that I like and I'm like, I want another Lord of the Rings experience where I walk out of the movie and it's perfect. I want to have that.
As much as I like the Darth Maul thing, I don't need 2 hours and 14 minutes to get a minute payoff to change my mind about the rest of the movie, unfortunately. It's great. I'll enjoy it, but I'm like, it's a lot of wasted time.
Yeah.
for 30 seconds of
awesome. Yeah. I can't fault you for that, man, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's a very valid criticism.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I loved the reveal, and I thought it was great, and I knew who it was, but I was just like, it took so long to get there, and the first hour of this movie, to me, is very boring.
Yeah.
Now, after that, it picks up, but the first hour...
Yeah, the first, I'd say 30 minutes is very slow.
Yeah, it's very...
And there's not a lot of humor in it, and it's just like, I know what you're trying to build up to, but...
You don't like the rock thermal detonator thing? I love that. I thought that was dope.
Yeah.
I heard you make the clicking sound with your mouth.
I think we've kind of... I understand people who hate this movie. Except for the people saying that Kathleen Kennedy ruined their childhood. Just shut up.
Those are my favorite people. Because I want to know who hurt them.
Apparently Kathleen
Kennedy. There's a lot of things about these last two movies I really don't like. And I think, if we really want to say, I think poorly written, considering... Last one or whatever, but anyways, I don't think anybody's ruined a childhood.
Yeah, no childhood has been ruined here.
I've had to watch some of the MCU characters change and do whatever that I really don't like, but I don't think my childhood's ruined.
Yeah, I will say that. As much as you don't like Tom Holland's Spider-Man, you've never said that your childhood was ruined.
I mean, I go find somebody else.
Yeah.
And I mean, I kind of get happy when he goes, I don't feel good, sir, but I mean...
Matt, are you broken?
He is! He's a very broken man.
But no, I don't think it ruined my childhood or anything else.
Yeah.
It's been very few things. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, those people are extreme, but I mean, I just ultimately, like, and overall, like, there are some, like, rightful, like, gripes that we haven't talked about. I really have an issue with how this movie uses women, but I had that issue with Last Jedi as well. And I said it at the time. And I just think overall, like, it didn't knock it out of the park, and I just need people to accept that Star Wars can put out a fine movie, but, like, you also have to admit that it's just a fine movie and that its box office wasn't great.
I'm in this great position where I have not engaged with Star Wars Twitter.
See, this is why you ever. Have happy thoughts.
This is exactly why I have happy thoughts. Doesn't keep me up at night. I don't get angry with anyone. I just go see my movies and I talk with my friends and I have a good
time.
That's
what I'm starting to do, because actually, like, part of me wanted to, like, have this conversation about, like, the fact that I'm seeing a whole bunch of people get angry about Star Wars, but then nobody complained, or Solo, but nobody complained about Last Jedi. I think that these women are written better in this movie than they were for Rose, specifically, who I felt had a very insignificant piece of The Last Jedi. I think that there are valid critiques to be made on, like, in terms of diversity, but those critiques can also be made for another movie, which has been treated like it was perfect, by Star Wars Twitter at large, kind of, like, fending off the people who didn't like The Last Jedi.
Difference also between, like you said, this movie's named Solo.
Yeah, it's Solo. Like,
Yeah.
That's my biggest gripe, is it named Solo.
That's my biggest thing. Like, you can... I mean, the critiques of, like, the diversity and things like that, I think, are valid. But at the end of the day, like, it is a Solo movie.
You only need two people, maybe two and a half people.
Well, see,
in
I understand
movie.
That. And
you
this
only
is...
need Han, Chewie, and possibly Lando to do this entire movie.
And
everybody,
Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, that's
and
literally
like,
all
you
need to
movie.
Do this
well,
movie.
You could have done if you wrote a different movie. Essentially, you need Han, Chewie, and Kira to do this movie. with how this plays out.
Yeah, this
well,
movie,
we had to play
yeah,
out.
Exactly.
I'm saying, in general, to write a Han Solo movie, all you need is basically those two characters and maybe three.
Yeah, just a generic Han Solo movie, yes.
That's all you need.
But within this movie, I think that's why I have such a problem, or why Kira doesn't stand out to me as much as I want her to, given her last, like, 10 minutes, is because she doesn't do anything the rest of the time, and it's annoying. But yeah, so, like, that's just kind of my gripe with it. I think overall it's a fine movie. It is just meh to me, but I totally understand, Adrian, your position, because I know that I've been on the other side of that coin when it comes to comic book movies. So, like, it's fine. And again, like, love what you love, dislike what you dislike, and don't jump in on people for disliking something that you like. Like, it's just, we all have different tastes.
Don't be a hypocrite.
Yeah, don't be a hypocrite.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing about,
that's
like,
my biggest problem.
Where I'm at on, like, Star Wars Twitter, like, everyone's always so, like, oh, well, let people like what they like. Yeah, but y'all's gotta, like, let people, like, not like what they not what they don't
that,
like.
That's the other side.
Like, if I don't... If I hate Canto Bite, Rose, and what they did with Leia in the movie, like, that's great. If you don't like what they did with the characters in Solo, I'm not gonna go knock you for it. If you don't like that they did stuff that's too fanservice-y, I'm not going to knock you for that either. Like, if you didn't like it, you didn't like it. Literally nothing I say is going to make you like or dislike the movie anymore. So I'm just, like, over trying to have the conversations about it.
Yeah.
And I'll just save it all for here where we get to talk with people like Ryan about the movie.
Yeah. I think I actually put out that tweet. I said, I really want to have this conversation, but I'm not going to. I'm going to talk about it on my podcast because I'm not going to deal with this. Also, thank you for joining us, Ryan, and dealing with this.
You the best.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate your opinion. So I guess, like, closing thoughts, I've done mine on Solo. Everybody else do theirs.
Yeah, I mean, I've said what I've had to say. I thought it was...
I said what I said.
I love the galaxy building. I feel like you put in a lot more stuff in this movie, even if it's just in the background in, like, the last couple of movies that we've seen with Star Wars. I loved the callbacks of, like, I hate you and, like, I know kind of stuff. Like, I thought that stuff was great. Chewbacca is my favorite part of the movie. Double fist and drinks. Liberating Wookiees. Like, this is the Chewbacca that I've wanted. I think the only way I won't like this movie is if they don't do anything with the stuff that they've set up in kind of, like, the broader galaxy building that they set up with this movie in terms of, you know, Darth Maul and Kira and, you know, that you, like, the constant referencing to Jabba the Hutt and Tatooine and stuff. But I don't know if we're there yet. So at this moment now, I'm at, you know, eight parsecs at a 10 on the Kessel run.
Yeah.
Because I had fun.
I'll go, because I know Ryan will be higher than me, so that way we can balance.
Yeah, we need
this.
To alternate.
I didn't think it was that bad of a movie. I thought it was very bland, some parts boring. I will say I thought it was a lot better than Last Jedi. I thought it was also just very safe and predictable writing. So, like, it wasn't bad, but I just thought it was very safe, not anything, like, extraordinary. I mean, I definitely wouldn't spend money on it, but I'd definitely watch it. But like you said, there were a lot of parts that was very disconnected, that as much as name dropping and all the other stuff, like, I just don't get. Like, even watching, I haven't watched all the cartoons, I haven't watched Rebels, but I watch all Clone Wars and stuff, but just like I said, I'm not going to read all the books and I shouldn't have to enjoy a movie. Especially if you're going to charge me freaking $13 a damn movie. But, I mean, I'd give it 6 out of 10, I guess, 6.5. I didn't think it was bad. I thought it was, well, at least written. Very safe, but it was written better.
Yeah. I'll go and then we can close out with Ryan. Mostly because he's
shaking his
head.
I thought you
said
you already did your thoughts.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to give my rating.
Oh.
Yeah, I was going to give my rating on it.
I was shaking my head at all the hate for The Last Jedi.
I know you were, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It is poorly written.
I know what I was walking into.
Yeah, I was like, you listen to this podcast. You know.
Yeah, and in case, like, you have, like, new listeners, like, we don't hate... Well, I mean, I don't hate The Last Jedi.
Adrian and I don't hate The Last Jedi.
I don't hate The Last Jedi. Fine. I hate parts of The Last Jedi. And there's really, really amazing things, and there's really, really bad things that make it, like, they just intersect on this weird point for me where, like, if I could just watch the scenes that I love, I would be totally fine. But I have to go through goddamn Canto Bite one more time, I'm going to lose my mind.
Between Canto Bite,
it's only, like, you know, my second or third favorite Star Wars movie.
Hey, and if you like it, like I said, you can like it all you want, and nothing I say is going to change how much you like it. So good for you, buddy. I'm glad you like it. I'm glad you had. I wish I had as good a time as you did.
Thank you.
So I'm gonna give this 6 underused women out of 10. That's what I'm going to give it.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Yeah.
Since I know you're talking about the women and everything, and we just said this with Solomon, what exactly did you expect?
No, I'm only talking about Kira, because, like, literally, like, she's in the movie out of anybody else. Like, I'm not even talking about Val at this point. I'm just talking about Kira.
Well, that's what I'm asking. I'm asking what exactly
you mean by, specifically, like, the scene where they close the door and you just see her cape flip up, I would have much rather have seen that scene happen instead of just seeing L3 go, oh, you can do that? That's amazing. And then she name drops stuff. I would have much rather seen that. I would have rather seen her do more stuff than just kind of sit places. Like, that's what I would want.
Okay, I'm just wondering, because I know there was a lot of points where I thought Lando sat around and did nothing.
Yeah, no, no. Because
that's what I'm just kind of...
Yeah, no, I think he did too, which...
But that's kind of Lando's like, character.
Yeah, I know. Like, literally sat around on the... But yet, we're saying we're underused, and Lando...
He literally sat there monologuing.
If I put a cape on her, does that mean it's better if she sits with a cape?
Well, she wasn't a cape, and it wasn't better. She wasn't a cape.
I'm sorry, that cape made everything better. That was a brilliant cape.
No, I mean, like, so, like, Lando, I also kind of made that comment. Like, everything of Lando I got in the damn trailer. That is also, like, it oversold so far as a trailer. So that is a critique I also have of Lando, but then at this point we end up with an ensemble movie. I understand that. I'm just working within the existing characters that are at the front of the movie.
Okay.
That's why I keep, like, there was clearly a point where where Kira could have been used more.
Okay. Because I was just like, Lando doesn't do a lot to sit around. And besides really Chewie and Han, I mean, Beckett plays obviously a lot more
than
the other one. But besides that, nobody else really does more.
Yeah, I mean, and Beckett doesn't do much after the very first
That's what I'm saying. That's why I was asking, like, you kept saying underused. Yeah. And I'm like, what do you want? Nobody else really does a lot.
But that's the reason I'm saying specifically Kira, because she is in a lot of scenes where Han and Chewie are there. She's specifically inside that base. It shows her cape flip up and say that she kicked this person's ass. Like, there are little things that you can do to actually build up this big reveal. For me, that reveal happened with no build up for me.
Yeah. And I know we talked about it, like, they were probably going to get stuff earlier. There's actually a Forces of Destiny short that just came out today with her in it with Hondo and IG-88. If you
want
to go.
I'll watch that
just for IG-88.
IG-88. Bruh, come on.
I want to go watch it, but again, you had enough scenes of her in this movie where you could have done more with her instead of just have her sit around. That's my only thing.
I know. I'm just trying to give you some stuff to go watch, Kate.
I will go watch
it.
I know. Star Wars is trying. It's trying to get me to cop all these damn comic books and stuff.
I was just asking about, because I thought Lando didn't do a lot either. He just sat around a cape and everybody praised him. And I was like, he really didn't do much but play some cards and sit in a cape.
But I did say that literally... The majority of his stuff is already in the trailer, which I also have a problem with because they oversold him. But I think the parts that he was in were really well acted and really good. But yeah, no, that's why, like, aside from Val, which is a whole nother conversation, just looking at Kira, like, she was severely underused for the amount of screen time that she had.
Okay.
Yeah, which I think is justified.
I mean, that's fine. That's fair. I just asked.
Yeah. And I had an answer. But yeah, 6.
All I learned is I can sit with a cape and I look way better.
I mean, yes. If you look like Donald Glover in a cape, yes, you can just sit anywhere in a cape and you're good.
Matt, get a whole cape room.
Yes.
I've been looking for one for a while.
He has, actually. He's been wanting a cloak. Like the ones that they wear in Lord of the Rings with the...
Yeah. I need a surname and a cloak. I feel like we need to bring that back.
Amazon is.
No, we're not going to talk about that.
Anyway, yeah. So 6 underused women out of 9. Out of 10. Yeah. That's where I fall on that. Just meh.
Okay. So now is it my turn?
Brighten our days.
Balance. Restore balance to the force.
There's no force.
So I am one of those weirdos who can tell you exactly when they saw Star Wars for the first time.
I can too.
Like, I absolutely love this universe. I've played so many of the games. I've read a bunch of the books. I consume any Star Wars media I can get a hold of. But this movie, like, even going into it, I didn't have that high of expectations. So, like, when I came out of it, it was fun. And I enjoyed a lot of the characters. I enjoyed the world building that they did. Han was the weakest part, which is a problem because it was a movie titled Solo.
Wow.
I am excited for where they're going with it, though. And so, like, overall, I enjoyed myself. And I've seen it twice now, and... even on my second time, I still laughed at some of the jokes. I still had fun with the movie. It just has such a slow start to it that, like, the payoff doesn't always feel worth it. So, like, I can understand why people find this movie boring. For me personally, though, there's enough there with all the, like, additional stuff from the Star Wars universe that I'm entertained. I think, for me, this is probably 7 good TIE Interceptors out of 10.
Awesome.
Yeah, we need to get new ships. We need to get new ships in it.
Okay. Anyway, okay, so thank you. That's been our Solos spoiler review. Let us know what you thought. So, yeah, you can find... Oh, actually, Ryan, tell them where you can find... Where they can
actually,
find
hold on.
First.
You can find me where you can find me. Thanks for having me.
You gotta pee.
Bye, Matt.
Okay. Yeah, so... Yeah, Ryan, where can they find you?
So you can find me on GoombaStomp.com, where I host 2 podcasts. One, which is Game Boys, which is all about co-op and multiplayer gaming. And the other is The Fire Keepers, which is all about the Dark Souls franchise. And I will be streaming some fun stuff on Twitch here. I don't know when this episode is coming out, so it might have already happened, but you can find me there on twitch.tv/TheFireKeepersPodcast, and then you can find me personally on Twitter at RPCappy.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. I genuinely enjoyed talking
thanks for having
to
me.
About Star Wars. Like, a lot. It made me a little bit happy about the fandom. You can find me at Oh My Myth Randier on Twitter, and you can find the podcast at But Why Though PC on Twitter and Facebook, and then you can also find us on Twitch, where we're streaming as Twitch affiliates. You can come sum to us and stuff. We're pretty cool. We stream a lot. Twitch.tv/ButWhyThoughPC. Adrian?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at SuperRubiz93, SuperRubiz93. If you want to talk about all the great EU Easter eggs in Solo, come holla at me.
Awesome. Cool. So thanks again, Ryan. Oh.
Thanks, Ryan. We love
what
you.
What outro music do you want?
Thanks for having me on.
What outro music do you want? I forgot to ask for Overwatch.
Oh, man. There's so many good Star Wars. The Imperial March seems too much.
Too extra?
I thought you were going to say perfect.
No, a little bit too much. Can you give me the, like, love melody between Han and Leia?
Oh, I can do that. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Anakin and Padme, and I was going to lose my mind.
With, you know, my great love of the prequels, clearly
I
want that.
I know, it would have been amazing.
Give me the Battle of Geonosis.
So I'm
excited for
so
it.
So I actually rank Attack of the Clones above The Last Jedi.
I know you do. You're wrong. You're allowed to like what you like.
I also just like the Attack of the Clones more than most people do. I like the giant battle scene, which is totally
all right, I'm
the Attack of the Clones is number 10 for me.
That's the Phantom Menace for me.
I think Phantom Menace is number 9.
Yeah, Phantom Menace is bad.